tonight. And I appreciate, again, Brother Brandon bringing that word to us. And I want to, if I could, just zone in on this text. I remember a couple of years ago, and it's hard to believe now that it'll really be a couple of years, but remember when we did the parsonage roof? Really, it's going on a year and a half now. And I remember, and I know several of you have done roof jobs. I know many of our teens that are now in their 20s with Mr. Jack have done many roof jobs. You know, when you do a roof job, and I'm going from experience of other people here. You buy the materials, you carry the wood and the shingles and the tar, and you climb up on the house, and many times you got to tear off the old roof and repair the house and put the new roof on, and then do the cleanup. I think about the project that we had when we did that, and it was incredible. Really, the day before, I remember seeing Pastor Donald and several others that were tearing off the old roof there, and the shingles were down. But then, literally, we started on a Saturday. I think we started at about 8 a.m. with a crew of laborers, and we were done, Brother Tim, I think by 2 o'clock. I mean, you think about that, a whole roof job like that, everything all cleaned up, ready to go. And boy, there's so many things about that day I'll remember. I'll never forget you, Brother Lem, being in the wheelchair. And Brother Lem had the I don't know what it's called. It's the nail picker-upper. And the magnet, you know, that I don't know what they call that thing. That just shows you how much I know about roofing, amen? And Brother Lem had somebody that was pushing him, and Lem was just trying to pitch in some way, somehow, do something. Come on. And bless my heart so much. But here we're told in this text about a different type of roofing crew. I call it God's roofing crew. Now listen, just imagine for a moment, if you would, with me, that you had a very sick loved one. Just imagine you had a child with terminal cancer. I know about you, I think that's a parent's worst nightmare. That they'll go, and maybe your son or daughter says, "Boy, this is really hurting a little bit. I got an ouchie here," and you go into the hospital, and they say, "It's not good. It's not good. It's terminal." And just imagine you had a child with terminal cancer, and word came to you that there was a man coming to town who was healing every sick person in his path. Imagine that. What would you do? Well, I think in our age, a lot of us would probably cynically dismiss it. Huh? I think perhaps some of us would Google this man and see what's really going on here. Maybe you would even go and witness him healing. But again, let's imagine that all your doubts have been put to rest. What would you do, or what wouldn't you do? I'll tell you what, you would get your sick child to this man. You would get that loved one to this man at any cost, any way you could, you'd get to him. And that is what's happening in this text right here. That's exactly what's happening. If you look at Mark chapter 2, you see it. Notice that there were some things that they didn't, just by way of introduction, that they didn't let discourage them. It says there in verse 3 of chapter 2, it says that, "And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy." You know what? First of all, they didn't let the bed discourage him. Here was this man, he was sick in bed, he was stuck there. They didn't let that discourage him. Not at all. You know what they did? They each grabbed a corner. Amen? I don't think it was the California King. Hallelujah. But they each grabbed a corner, whether it was a cot or a sack or whatever. They didn't let the bed discourage them. You know what? They didn't let the body discourage them. If you look at verse 2, it says, "Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as the door. And he preached the word unto them." And then verse 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh for the press," and that's not talking about the freedom of the press. It's talking about a lot of people there. Amen. It says they uncovered the roof. They didn't let the crowd discourage them. I don't know about you. I hate crowds. My wife went to school in Boston for several years on Thursday nights. Honestly, I'd rather have my fingernails torn out than go be around crowds all the time. It just absolutely, ugh. You know what? They didn't let that bother them. There was people everywhere. And they tried to go this way, and they couldn't. And they went around this way, and they couldn't. And you know what they did? They said, huh, let's go up. No crowd up there. No crowd on top of the roof, amen. They didn't let the bed discourage them. They didn't let the body discourage them. They didn't let any barriers discourage them. Think of the difficulties. You had the man, the bed, the crowd, the journey. Think about the discouragement. It says they could not come nigh. They didn't let that stop them. Think about the dead ends. Hey, they tried, look, I guess we can't get in. The clothes, no, they went to the roof. You know what? There are no dead ends with a living God. Let me say that again. There are no dead ends with a living God. And what does it take? I want you to see this from just a little bit of an odd perspective tonight. What does it take to work on God's roofing crew? Thankfully, it doesn't take a lot of physical skills, and otherwise a lot of us would never be able to work on God's roofing crew, your preacher being chief among them. But what does it take to work on God's roofing crew? 5 points tonight and some sub-points. Number one, it takes comprehension. It takes comprehension. If you want to work on God's roofing crew, like this crowd that brought their friend and they broke up the roof and brought him down to Jesus, what does it take to work on God's roofing crew? It takes comprehension, first of all, of man's condition. You know what? This man was sick. He was sick. He was sick. He needed Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Man's condition has not changed. All men are sin sick. All men are sinners and need the Savior. And you know what we are? We're like those four men, amen, that we need to have a comprehension of the fact that people all around us need Jesus. Have to have a comprehension. They're sin sick, sinners. But not only of man's condition, sinners, we need to have a comprehension of God's ability of salvation. Did you know God is still in the saving business? Hey, did you know, I know this world is getting more wicked by the day. And I think we see 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy 4 happening right in front of our eyes. Perilous times have come, but God still saves people. Hey, you know that person that you know that's a drunk and people say there's no hope for that guy? I'm here to tell you that as long as God is still God, that there's hope for him. What he needs is somebody to have a comprehension of his condition and bring him the gospel. Has to understand God's ability for salvation. Not only man's condition as a sinner, God's ability for salvation, but something else that we have to have a comprehension of if we're going to work on God's roofing crew is that is time's opportunity. Soon. Brother Becker said something in prayer meeting. It was great. We were talking about Vacation Bible School, and we were talking about Pastor Donald, how you had several young people make professions of faith today. And isn't that great, church? Amen. In junior church, I love that. And I said, we were just kind of joking back and forth. I said, hey, Pastor Donald, don't get them all saved. I said, we got to have some during Vacation Bible School to get saved. And Brother Becker said, what if we don't make it to Vacation Bible School? Huh? Hey, you know what we have to have a comprehension of? I know most of us, we have a desire to see people saved, but we don't have a comprehension of time's opportunity. Listen, you know what time's opportunity is? Soon. 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 Why? Because soon their life will be over. Soon, it'll be their last heartbeat. Soon, they'll stand before God. You want to work on God's roofing crew? You need to have a comprehension. You need to have a comprehension of man's condition, sinners. God's ability, salvation. Time's opportunity, soon. But not only does it take comprehension to work on God's roofing crew, but I'll tell you what else it takes. It takes compassion. It takes compassion. Look at verses 3 and 4. Think about these verses. It says, and they come unto him. Okay, so here's this group bringing their friend to Jesus. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth me. Compassion is love in action. Let me say that again. Compassion is love in action. Their love moved them. This man who was their friend, this man who they obviously loved, this man who could not help himself, they brought him to Jesus. Do you know the Bible still says in the book of James chapter 2 that if thy brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding give not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It's dead. It takes compassion. Listen, love will move you to service. I mean that with all my heart. Love will move you to service. You know, people that go through great tragedies. I think about people that may endure, let's say, gun violence. And you know what? The love for that person that they lost, Brother Horsch, in gun violence will move them to help banish and stamp out gun violence. It happens all the time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we truly love Jesus, it'll move us to service. Now, listen, I think of our precious senior saints. I know Mama Howland says down in Florida they call the senior saints class the Q-tip class. I love that, by the way. That makes me laugh every time I think of it, Mama Howland. I know physically you can't do some of the things maybe that you used to do, but I know this, seniors, you can do something. You can do something. And I'll tell you what, here, that was their love. Their love for this man moved them to service. It's compassion. But not only love will move you to serve, verse 3 tells us that there. It says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. But love will always move you to sacrifice. Verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Do you think they might have got in trouble for breaking up someone's roof? Brother Brandon, somebody comes to your house and you come home from work a long day and you look up and there's four guys up there tearing up your roof. I think they're in trouble. I think they're in big trouble, especially if Brother Brandon comes out, probably armed and dangerous. Who knows? Amen. They might have gotten in trouble. But they said, you know what? Yes, it is a sacrifice for us to carry our friend. We're not told how long they carried him for. Could have been an hour, could have been two, could have been four, could have been eight, could have been a day and a half. You ever tried to carry a human being, even a small one? My son Eric keeps crawling on me and I keep getting crushed. Huge. This was a grown man that had the palsy and they carry him. And you know what? Love will move us to serve and love will move us to sacrifice. And I've learned this through the years that when we truly love, it's not much of a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not much of a sacrifice when we consider all that God sacrificed for us. All that Jesus endured for us on the cross. It takes comprehension. It takes compassion. You know what else it takes to work on God's roofing crew? Hold your place there in Mark and go over to Luke chapter 5 with me. Luke chapter 5. We have here what we call a parallel account. If you've got maybe a Schofield reference Bible or a different reference Bible, it'll say Mark 2 and then Luke 5. those are real handy, amen. You can learn, you can always glean more from doing that kind of a study about the situation. It takes comprehension of man's condition, their sinners, of God's ability for salvation, of time's opportunity that's soon. It takes compassion. Love will move you to serve, and love will move you to sacrifice. But you know what else it takes? Luke 5:18, it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." You know what else it takes, ladies and gentlemen? It takes concern. And I think in our day where we've got the right Bible, and listen, I happen to believe that we still have the right standards. I still think a church ought to have standards. Let me preach a little bit here. I still think a church ought to have standards. I think you ought to wear the best you have, and if all you have is blue jeans and a t-shirt, they ought to be ironed. Amen? I think choir ought to look like a church choir. And not something at a rock concert. Amen? I think that Sunday school teachers ought to be faithful. Sunday school, it's hard to teach Sunday school if you're not there. Amen? I think we ought to have standards. Amen? And we have all that. I believe we have all that. But I tell you, in this day, what we're missing is concern. It's not concern. We excuse ourselves from it and we say, well, I'm busy or I'm this or I'm retired. Or listen, there's no excuse to be unconcerned about people dying and going to hell. No excuse. These guys were concerned. It says they sought means to bring him in. You know, when you give to missions, you know what you're doing? You're seeking means to reach the world. When you go out and pass out a gospel tract, you're seeking means to bring the gospel. Hey, when we sow seeds at Spartan Stadium, Brother Brandon, we're going to sow a bunch of them. You know what we're doing? We're seeking means to get Jesus Christ to a whole bunch of people that would never hear about Him. And you know what it is? It's born out of concern. It's not only comprehension. It's not only compassion, but it's concern. They were concerned about getting their friend to Jesus, and it moved them to action. You show me somebody who's really concerned about somebody else, and I'll show you somebody that'll come to you and they'll say, "Pastor, you need to pray for my neighbor. Listen, I pray for him every day. He's got cancer. And I've been over there to talk to him several times, and he shuts me down. Pastor, as a matter of fact, would you pray? Would you get other people praying?" That's concern. That's concern right there. And boy, you know what? We need a boatload of it in our lives. I know I do. Maybe you've got plenty of concern, but I know I can get cold. Cold, you just become a piece of machinery going through the motions. And we don't want that. That becomes Phariseeism. Listen, an informed mind must be supported by a warm heart. An informed mind must be supported by a warm heart. It takes comprehension. It takes compassion. It takes concern. I love this back in Mark chapter 2, verse 3. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of how many? Four." You know what else it takes? Cooperation. It takes cooperation. Hey, you couldn't have the four, one saying, you got four guys, and one saying, "I'm going to go this way." And the other guy saying, "I'm going to go this way." And the other saying, "I'm going to go this way. No, I want to go this way." And just pulling, there's this man in the bed saying, "Oh my, I'm going to go this way," right down. Amen. No, they had to cooperate. They had to say, hey, watch that rock. Watch your step there. Okay, let's go. We'll slow down a little bit. We'll slow down a little bit. Oh, hey, then they got him up. And they had to break up the roof. So, okay, you do this part. You do this part. Okay, let's lower them down. Easy now. Easy, easy. Just a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. They work together. You know what I love about youth conference, Pastor Donald? You know what I love about Vacation Bible School? It's going to be like a beehive. If you've never seen it, you need to pop in there. If you're not part, and I know many of you that are not, part, the actual part, you pray, and that is being part. But you ought to pop in there and take a look. You ought to walk down around the hallways and see this little class and that game and this activity and this Bible lesson. It's like a beehive of cooperation. Listen, if we're going to be on God's roofing crew, we can't be independent roofing contractors. We need to work together. We need to work together. Well, I don't like working with that guy. He probably doesn't like working with you either. Amen? But you can work together. You can work together. Say, you know what? It's not about me. They had one during the junior camp, one of the best parts of the message was said, it's not all about me. Remember that, Pastor Donald? It's not all about me. Hey, if we can get our juniors to understand that, why can't we get our adults to understand it? It's not all about me. Hey, it's about cooperating for the cause of Christ and bringing men and women to Jesus. Their friends need and the Lord's power healed this one. They moved and they worked together. Lastly tonight, not only does it take comprehension, not only does it take compassion, not only does it take concern, not only does it take cooperation, but verses 3 and 4, I know we've read them several times. Look at them again. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know what it takes, lastly? It takes commitment. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. Do you know why people flock, disgruntled former independent Baptists? Do you know why they flock to the one-hour power services? No commitment. None whatsoever. All you got to do is show up and leave. That is not the God we serve. Our God wants disciples. And disciples means disciplined one, and that implies commitment. Listen, these guys were committed to get their friend to Jesus. They were they almost could have been committed. Amen. They broke up the roof. And what did they do? They lowered their friend down. And Jesus was in the house and he was preaching. It says verse 2 at the end, he preached the word unto him. And you hear clink, 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 clink. And maybe some dust is sprinkling on people's heads and they're looking around. And he looked up and he saw these guys saying, yeah, he's right there. Go ahead. Just a little, just a little, just a little. What does it say there in verse 5? When Jesus saw their faith. You know, your neighbor does have to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Your co-worker does have to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, God sees our faith in how badly we want them saved. And how we're willing to go the extra mile. We have Extra Mile Saturday coming up here in just a couple of weeks. You say, well, I can't come out for 5 hours. If you can come out for one, we'll take you. We'll take you. Says he saw their faith. And they bring one sick and he's born afore. And they uncover the roof and they break it up and they let him down. And they were committed to bring him to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my parting question to you tonight. What's our commitment level to bring people to Jesus? Well, Pastor, I'm a good Christian. I come to church. And I thank God for faithful people. We have such what I call great comeback crowds. We have great Sunday night crowds. Now, the truth is, I'd love to have more people here, but I'm thankful for committed people. We have great Wednesday crowds. I thank God for that, especially during our Truth Trackers program. We'll have 104. I think one time last year, Pastor Don, we had 165 on a Wednesday night. That's awesome. I think it's wonderful. But that's not the end of Christianity. You say, well, I give, I tithe, and thank God. This church could not function without tithing Christians. Just can't do it, amen? I give to missions, thank God. That is a stretch and a reach of commitment that I just love. My family does that too, amen? But our commitment level is what we do outside of these doors. That's where the people are that need to be saved. Come on, church, help me. That's where the people are that need to be saved. It's that rotten neighbor that you have that you just, you know, every time he speaks, your ears bleed. He's going to say so many rotten things. Hey, listen, that's the person we need to be committed to bring the gospel to. That was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Can I say this? That was Rich Zavodsky 22 years ago. Amen? Maybe that was you. Let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that our primary purpose to bring glory to God is to bear much fruit. And how do we do that? Listen, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Listen, let's get on God's roofing crew. Hey, maybe you've never shared the gospel with somebody. God wants to use you to do that. I think about it's perfect, Brother Brandon, how these messages work together tonight. Sowing seeds at Spartan Stadium and being on God's roofing crew. Amen. They're the same thing, by the way. They're the exact same thing. Let's have a commitment to bring people to Jesus. Let's have a concern to bring people to Jesus. Let's have a compassion to bring people to Jesus. Let's have comprehension to bring people to Jesus. And let's cooperate to bring people to Jesus. God's roofing crew. Father, thank you.